Well, now that's bad because you're not going to get anything free from me. Except for God's Word. That's probably as good as Swedish fish or Swedish berries, whatever. Hey, I want to share one thing I found this week. And actually, Paul Hershberger shared it. And I thought it was pretty cool. So I'm gonna read it to you this morning. And the title of it was, I've never had it summed up like this before. The question is, why go to church? I love this guy's answer and the interpretation for the word Bible. A churchgoer wrote a letter to the editor of a newspaper and complained that it made no sense to go to church every Sunday. He wrote, I've gone for 30 years now, and in that time I've heard something like 3,000 sermons, but for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time. The preachers and priests are wasting theirs by giving sermons at all. This started a real controversy in the letters to the editor column. Much to the delight of the editor, it went on for weeks until someone wrote this clincher. I've been married for 30 years now. In that time, my wife has cooked some 32,000 meals, but for the life of me, I cannot recall the entire menu for a single one of those meals. But I do know this, they all nourished me and gave me strength I needed to do my work. If my wife had not given me these meals, I would be physically dead today. Likewise, if I had not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead today. When you are down to nothing, God is up to something. Faith seems invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Thank God for our physical and our spiritual nourishment. If you cannot see God in all, you cannot see God at all. Bible simply means basic instructions before leaving earth. That's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Like I say, thanks to Paul for sharing that, because it kind of leads into where I want to go today. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and Lord, while we've got some sugar passed out, while we've had some time in Sunday school and some time of praise, Lord, I ask you just to calm us and to just shut me down, Lord, and let me be your mouthpiece and let the congregation hear what you want them to hear, Lord. We love you and we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. So, you know, it's funny because Chris and I were talking last night, and I said, I got to get up early in the morning and tie up my sermon. And she said, you know what you're preaching on? And I said, yeah. I said, I've got two sermons, two topics, and I'm not sure where God's going to take me yet. And I didn't stress over it all night because I know God's in charge. I probably had the best night's sleep. I had clean sheets on my bed. And normally, so right before we went to bed, Chris said, we have clean sheets on the bed. Do not tear them off. Because I don't know what happens. I toss and turn, whatever it is. And when I wake up in the morning, the sheet is up off of the bed cover. And it's, I don't know. But this morning, I'll have you know, the sheet was still at the bottom of the bed cover. So I slept like a baby last night, and God got me up early this morning and said, hey, here's where we're going with this. So the title today, and yeah, I'm a play on words type of guy, is Make America Great Again, okay? Or America, Oh America. And I thought it was important that we talk about this because, you know, next Tuesday we have a pretty big election. There's a lot of issues. There's a lot of stuff we have to sort through. And I'm not here to tell you who to vote for. That's your own personal choice. Here's what I'll tell you. As Christians, we need to make sure that we know what God is calling us to do. Because our world is in a mess. Sometimes our leadership, well, not sometimes, a lot of times our leadership, we've strayed from following God's word. And that's why we are where we are. Now, for the interesting part, I have never, ever preached a sermon out of Lamentations. We're going to today. Not sure where God's going with it. Anybody know why Lamentations was written? Bruce? Yep, it was written right after, for those that didn't hear Bruce, it was written right after the destruction of Jerusalem, of Judea, of all that stuff. Why? Because they forgot to put God at the center and front of their lives. So there's a correlation, and this is where God pulled me, so this is where we're going, people. Lamentations 1. How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she, who once was great among the nations. She who was queen among the provinces and has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night, tears on her cheeks. Among her lovers there is no one to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. After affliction and harsh labor, Judah has gone into exile. She dwells among the nations. She finds no resting place. All who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to her appointed festivals. All her gateways are desolate. Her priests groan. Her young women grieve, and she is in bitter anguish. Her foes have become her masters. Her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins. Her children have gone into exile, captive before the foe. All the splendor has departed from daughter Zion. Her princes are like deer that find no pasture. In weakness they have fled before the pursuer. In the days of her affliction and wandering, Jerusalem remembers all the treasures that were hers in the days of old. When her people fell into enemy hands, there was no one to help her. Her enemies looked at her and laughed at her destruction. Verse 8, Jerusalem has sinned greatly, and so has become unclean. All who honored her despise her, for they have all seen her naked. She groans and turns away. We're going to stop there. Sound like anywhere anybody want to live? Anybody want to go there? This was the probably the greatest city at one point. This was where everybody wanted to go. Okay? Kind of like somewhere I know. America. Why do people come to America? Why? Because they come here for religious freedom. They come here for the right to make themselves better, for the privilege or the chance to make themselves better. But much like Jerusalem here, man, I think America, we got a sin problem. We got a sin problem. And worse than the sin problem, because listen, we all sin and we all fall short. Right? We know that. why is the sin problem becoming a problem? Because we don't even recognize sin anymore. We are so corrupt. We are so fallen away from God that we don't even know we're sinning anymore. That's a problem, people. That's a problem. And today in Sunday school with the young people, we're reading a book called, or we're doing a study on the book called Fearless. And we're into chapter 4, which is a chapter that, I really didn't want to talk about with 17, 15, some 21-year-old kids in this class. It's a book, a chapter on fear of death. Fear of death. And guys, I don't even know why we fear death. You know, we talked about it today. We fear death because we don't understand eternity. Okay? We have been promised eternity with our Savior. And we don't get it. Why? Because I'm 53 years old. Brody said I'm older than dirt. I hope you enjoy your Necco wafers. So we talked about it, and Verlton and I had a conversation. Verlton, I'm going to ask, how old are you? 86. I was close. I said 85. I asked Brody and Bo and Delaney. I said, "What's an age you guys can kind of top off and see yourself at? And what's that max age?" Because when I was 18, I'll be honest, I couldn't think. I wasn't sure what 25 looked like for me. Okay, there was no way I thought about 40. And as Brody said, well, my dad never thought about 50. But he's still young compared to 53. And I said, Brody. But, so I'm 53. Verlton's 86. I hope I get to 86. But if I don't, you know what? I'm going to be in more glory than if I was 86 years old. Because I'm going to be living for eternity with my Savior. Okay? But we have a sin problem in America. And it starts at the top. And our biggest sin is that we have shied away from anything God. You know, in the 80s or 90s, we took it out of school. We took it out. We took out Pledge of Allegiance. We took out anything offensive to anybody, because we're a everybody gets a trophy society. Guys, I'm here to tell you, there are some winners and there are some losers. And we as Christians have already won the game. We are promised eternity, but we keep trying to chip away at that because we don't understand eternity. You know, I'll relate it another way. Eternity for me, and I got to give some call-outs to some kids here. Ryan yesterday ran in the regional cross-country meet. The Northmore team finished first in the districts, right? The girls' team finished as the number one team in the districts, qualified for the regionals. You know, they did not qualify for the state meet as a team. But still, that's quite an accomplishment, because you want to talk about an eternity? 22 minutes of running is an eternity for me. Okay, Chris and I have been walking a lot. And I decided this week, we went to the track on Thursday night. And Chris is going to try to do a 5K, walk a 5K. And about a mile and a half into this, I said, okay, you want to pick up the pace a little and jog? Because I'm like, oh, I can handle this, right? So we jogged about, the corner on the track, walked the straightaway, then jogged the corner again. We did that for two laps, and I said, okay, I'm at 2.4 miles. I'm done. And I didn't. It's not because I ran. Well, it is because I ran. But 2.4 miles of a walk for me is a lot, especially because I walk 6 miles at work every day. So I was like, 8 miles is enough for me. Well, Chris kept chugging along, and she got to, I don't know, 2.8 miles. And we are not what we used to be. Okay, and that goes for Christianity, that goes for our nation, that goes for our world. We are not what we used to be. Most of that is because we have a sin problem. Guys, in the church, things have changed. In the church, things have changed. We're no different than Jerusalem. We're no different. We were supposed to be the grandeur. We were supposed to be where God is glorified. We are supposed to be where we go out and tell everybody about our God and our Savior. But we let our sin get in the way. I'm just going to take you back here to this, and I'm going to read this past this verse again, because verse 8, Jerusalem has sinned greatly, and so has become unclean. All who honored her despise her, for they have all seen her naked. She groans and turns away. I'm going to skip on down to verse 10. The enemy laid hands on all her treasures. She saw pagan nations enter her sanctuary, for those you had forbidden to enter your assembly. Guys, we have brought sin to the church bad. It's always been there, but we have brought it, made it worse, because we've turned our back on God. We've got to get back to the heart of Christianity. And it starts right there. It starts right there. Do we really, for the best way I can explain to you about eternity is, I think I have my book up here. Yeah. We talked about it today. First Corinthians 15, we're going to turn over to that real quick, because this is a passage today that kind of hit me while we were talking in the young people class, and I thought, you know, this is what it's about. This is what it's about. This is how we get rid of the sin problem in the church. This is how we are going to make America great again. Starting in verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Verse 3. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James and all the apostles, and the last of all, He appeared to me also, as to the one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God was with me. Whether then it is I or they, This is what we preach, and this is what you believed. Guys, for us to understand eternity, for us to understand how to make America great again, we have to understand that Jesus did what? He chose to beat death. He chose to beat death. And I'm going to take you to one more passage, John 14. Chapter 1. You know, it's kind of funny how all this, because when I was preparing this message, I hadn't even looked at our Sunday school message yet. And man, this stuff is all tying it together. John 14, 1 through 3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place I am going. Verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. That's our promise. That's our promise. Jesus had to leave. He had to beat death. He had to rise from the dead. Why? So he could go ahead of us and prepare our place for eternity. It's all part of the plan. But much like Jerusalem, maybe I'm the only one. You know, there's sometimes I just don't like long, elaborate plans. I like to get to the heart of what's going on. I like to do things Matt's way. That's a sin problem. Because I don't trust the guy that died on the cross, was buried in a tomb, and was raised again, that he can handle a financial problem, a marriage problem, an addiction problem, a whatever it is problem. Our sin gets in the way of our eternity. And until we fully turn it over to him, we're going to struggle with it. Much like the city here in Lamentations, it was once a great city. They had a sin problem. They were a dirty, nasty people problem. Guys, my challenge to you is this. We as the church, we got to take a stand. We got to take a stand in the voting process. We got to take a stand in our lives in general. But most importantly, we got to take a stand here at church, and we got to get sin out of our church. Because what's he want? He wants total unity in the church. There's only one way we're going to have that. And that's if we don't have all this other junk in our way. Because when we go to the polls next Tuesday, I hope the Christians all have total unity on how they vote. And I hope they've prayed about it. And I hope that the clarity is there for each and every Christian. Only one way we're going to get that clarity, that's to let that sin go. What is sin? Sin's anything that hinders you, anything that hinders you from the cross, that's sin. We have a sin problem in the United States. We have a sin problem in Morrow County. We have a sin problem in Mount Gilead, Ohio. We have a sin problem in Galleon, Ohio. We have a sin problem in this church. There's only one way to fix it. He already took care of it. And we just got to let it go. We got to trust and have faith that he already died on that cross for us. And it's good enough. Sometimes we think, there's no way that's enough. And we beat ourselves up. If what he did on the cross wasn't enough, he'd still be here doing it today. But guess what? He's there preparing a place for you because he knows it was enough. He died, he shed blood on that cross, and he knows it was enough for every sin we're going to commit 2,024 years later. It was enough. We have to trust him. We have to have faith that he's in control, even though sometimes it seems like in this world he's not. I guarantee you there's a reason for everything that's happened so far. And there's a reason for everything that's going to happen in the future. We don't have to understand it. What we have to do is have faith. You know, and I'm going to relate this Make America Great Again to this summer. Chris and I bought a little, you know, Beckett's, 7 months old. So at the time he was, 2 months old. We went to the Candlewood garage sales and we got conned into this Power Wheels Jeep. Didn't have a battery. It was ugly. But we got conned in, and Chris said, "Oh, look, yeah." And I said, "Well, I don't need a project because I'm not handy. Just ask my wife." Times they are changing, people. Because Grandpa Matt restored a Jeep's Hot Wheel. And man, it looks good. It's candy apple red with black trim and stainless steel chrome on it. I mean, it is sharp. I don't know if it'll run or not. We haven't put a battery in it yet. But I'm calling it the Mattmobile. And Big Red and Bruce, my two grandsons, Shelby is due in February. They're going to be driving the Mattmobile around. And the reason I haven't put a battery in it yet is because I can't decide. I could go with the standard 12-volt battery and go 3 miles an hour. Or because I have grandsons, I can put a 24-volt battery in that will go 10 miles an hour. And I think we could ramp some stuff at that point. And Beckett's mother is all for it. Bruce's mother is probably not, and Bruce is not his name. That's just what I call him. But that thing, I got to be honest, I'm pretty proud of it because it looks like it's brand new, and I painted it myself, and I'm not a painter. I'm not a body guy. But it's pretty cool. And that's the reclamation project God wants to do with America right now. He wants to take this battered that's been through a lot, and he wants to make us great again. Sin is holding us back. Sin that's already been paid for is holding us back. So my challenge to you is this. Do not let sin hold you back. Understand, it's already covered. We just got to let Him have it. And what that looks like for you, I don't know. We have these kneelers here. If you want me to pray with you about sin, I'm probably the wrong guy to do it, but I'll do it. But if you just want to, and you don't have to leave your seat, but I want you to give that sin to God today. Just turn it over completely. And I'll be right there with you, because I'm telling you, I got a lot of them in my life. But we've got to get rid of the sin problem in here before we go out and attempt to take over America for Him. And that's what it's coming to. If we do not, as a church, intervene, it's going to be some really, really bad times. Worse than already. And I don't mean to scare anybody. That's not my intention. But we as Christians have got to take our claim as God's chosen people. We have got to take our claim that we serve a Savior that's greater than anything that's going on in this world. I don't know if this is where God wanted me to go with this message, but when He pointed out Lamentations to me, I was like, really, God? I don't know if I want to go there. But if you're open-minded to what God wants, think about the passages He opened up in Sunday school today for me. That's pretty cool, and that's only one thing at work. That's not because Matt's smart. My wife will tell you I am not. You know, I'm wanting to put a battery in a car for a 2-year-old to go 10 miles an hour. Tells you how smart I am. But it's because God intervened. Said, hey, here's where I want you to go. Your sin is already covered. And I want you to be with me for eternity. I'm preparing a place for you for eternity. And that's pretty cool. So let's get rid of our sin. Let's throw it away. Let's give it to God. He'll take it. He's already taken it. He'll help you through it so that we can go out there and make a difference to make America great again. I'm going to close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, let us come before You. And Lord, I thank You for teaching me daily. I thank You for being patient with me and not giving up on me and teaching me to trust You and to know that You are enough, Lord. Lord, as we have a big opportunity ahead of us, Lord, and we know that with You at the center of it, we can make America great today again. You can make America great again. It's not people that are in office. It's not anybody else, Lord. It's You. We ask You to just have Your hand on this election and this time of voting, that You take control of America. You start a fire in America that burns everybody for You, Lord. Lord, we love You. We praise You. We give You all the glory. In Your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to have some music. I'll be here. If you have something you need prayer for, if you have something you need to let go, it's not because I'm any better at it, because I got a lot that I need to let go. But I will pray with you. If we need to call Bruce up, Bruce will pray with you, I promise. Sorry to put you on the spot, Bruce. But if we have an influx and we need people, listen, the kneelers are here, the altar's here, the cross is here. Whatever you need, we're there for you.